And you know what? Somehow there's something wonderful about just letting it all go.
In Things Might Change or Cease, Austin was played by Oliver Cotton, Maggie by Julia Ford, Lena by Deborah McAndrew, and Nell by Joe Hartley. Charlie was played by Evan Meredith, Tom by Jake Norton, Ivan by Tom Rollinson, and Dave by Russell Richardson. Things Might Change or Cease was written by Linda Marshall Griffiths and directed in Salford by Nadia Molinari. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's coming up to 1 minute past ten, and time now for World Roots, where Lucy Duran concludes her Madagascan tour, joined by her guides, the instrument maker and musician Paddy Bush, and the musician Justin Vallée.
This is a very interesting experience. I'm on a rickshaw that is being pulled along by a young, very strong boy. Basically, this is the main form of transport here in Toliara. I feel slightly like I'm on a camel or something. It kind of just has a sort of slow rock to it. Okay, now they're going into a jog. God, it must be hard work. So we're heading straight to the centre of Toliara, and in the distance, the sea.
Tisa upa na deha timi pulianga te tane. Tisa upu wakange ni fuana ngale ngale. Nakare kutearu, kukule kutearang. Timi pulika, faisa hulea viang. Kwavi, kwavi, tifana deha. Kwavi, kwavi, tifana deha. Kwavi, kwavi, marain kariva. Kwavi, kwavi, marain kariva.
I've always wanted to come to Toliara because it has such amazing music. The first recordings I ever heard of Malagasy music were from around this region. So I had an idea of Toliara as a place which was incredibly vibrant with a great musical life. And I mean, we do hear lots of this kind of pop music, which they called sapiki, blaring out of stalls and in the markets. But there's been so much political unrest in this country. So basically, this town, which was indeed apparently very vibrant and with lots of tourism not so long ago, now it's just almost empty. We are some of the few foreigners. The hotel that we were meant to be staying in had to close, and then we were put in a kind of faulty towers type hotel where nothing seemed to work, and the manager was in a filthy temper all the time, and eventually it actually kicked us out. Although it feels very peaceful, last night from our hotel we heard automatic gunfire, and we found out this morning that it was bandits robbing a hospital. This town, Toliara, really feels like the end of the world, and at the same time, just such an incredible crossroads of different cultures merging together. I mean, even this boy-powered rickshaw, whoops, we're about to crash into a car, even this boy-powered rickshaw makes you feel as though you're somewhere in the Far East, and yet here we are on the Channel of Mozambique in southwest Madagascar. This country is clearly in real trouble, political and economic trouble. Nevertheless, the thing that I've come here for, the music, well, that seems to be a constant. I'm happy to say that music seems to be in great shape in Toliara. God, this is just so beautiful, Paddy. I'm absolutely overwhelmed. I've never heard anything like this.
We're in musical heaven.
Sense of deep old roots.
They break all the rules, you know, with these kind of suspended chord shapes, and it's just gives it a kind of supernatural quality.
That's good for the microphones.
So we're going to, that was just the sound check. Yeah. Now we're going to do the real thing.
Yeah, that was just a run through.
Manindri. And his family. Yeah. Here in Tuliar. Le Didrogor?
Tukalav.
That's the title of the song we just heard, that incredible song. And it's calling the spirits. Ça appelle les esprits.
Appelle les esprits, oui, oui. Il s'est manifesté.
To manifest themselves.
Oui, oui.
What is he saying? Because he's obviously doing some kind of storytelling. Justin.
Oui, il dit pour Tukalav, il appelle tous les différents esprits qui existent.
So he's calling all the different spirits, the spirits of the water, the spirits that are in the forest, the spirits of the ancestors. He's singing about the forest spirits, and that's why he's got to call very loud, because they're far away. Justin, when he sings this music, will the spirits appear?
Direct.
They come directly. They arrive. They come down directly.
He's saying he's like a doctor.
Parce que là, en fait, il fait la musique parce que souvent il y a des malades qui viennent.
People come over to get cured because they are ill. So the Maninj plays his music in order to call for the spirits to come and cure these people. And that's what he's doing through his music.
I think I want to hear another piece of spirit music.
Mainte,
It's just such a wonderful sight. There are these five women. Two of them are playing drums, which are resting on the end of their feet. They're playing them with sticks, and they're doing this wonderful kind of polyphony. It's just and hocketing, and the most amazing thing of all is the way that Manindri is dressed. Okay, so for a start, he's got this kind of crazy wig on. He's got these beads kind of crossed around his chest. He's got a cloth which covers his waist, red and white and black cloth, and then a scarf over his shoulders. So this, I guess this is the like the Antandrui costume.
They have very specific kind of lambas that they wear, which are
the lambas are the like the scarves.
Like the scarves, and you can see his daughter there is wearing a larger version of the same scarf that he's got on as a like a dress. And,
we want to know what that song was about, the one we've just heard.
It's called Mayintu Tilamba.
Uh-huh. And it means?
Mayintu Tilamba means cloth, dark colored.
Dark colored cloth.
It's, yes.
Oh, it's the lamba.
Yes.
It's the scarf. What's the significance of the
dark? The significance is that when he calls for the spirit likes that color. So he has got to wear dark colored clothing. That's what it is. And it's got to be on a Friday, because Friday is the day of the kukulamb.
What's the kukulamb?
This ritual of calling the spirit.
Apparently, just yesterday, somebody came, was here all the way from Réunion, from the island, which is way far away from here in the Indian Ocean, and he came specifically to be cured because he'd been possessed by a bad spirit. So the spirit manifested itself yesterday and freed him, liberated him.
Yeah, this is like a musical exorcism. This is really, really serious stuff. Even though we're sitting in a very light, wonderful atmosphere, what this music deals with is the most extreme psychological distress. And this is music to take it away, to cure it. You can feel the atmosphere is electric and fantastic when they're singing. The sounds of encouragement are just wonderful. This is not music for entertainment. This is not popular music or classical music. This is magic in musical form.
We're just about 100 yards from Manindri's house is this lively street. This is a really lively neighborhood. Where are we, Manindri?
He's
saying this is called Antilifali and it's a market street. And also there are lots of puspus.
The boy-powered rickshaws.
Yes, the puspusi.
Well, Manindri, you yourself, you ride a bicycle.
The puspusi.
He prefers the bicycle to the pussy because you always have to pay money.
The scenes on this street are just great, and there's some slightly surreal moments as well. For instance, right now we've got two girls stood in front of us trying to sell me a couple of live ducks.
That want to sell the ducks, they're duck sellers.
So I can buy a live duck for £2. Justin Manindri, the musician we've just been listening to, he's quite a character, isn't he?
He's very well known here, especially in his neighborhood here. And he's also known all over Chulia. He's very protective about everybody and really like a sort of a king.
He's really tall and very strong.
Oh, he's very strong. He used to be a champion wrestler, did Manindri. When Justin's orchestra, the Madagascar, were touring in France.
And Manindri is part of the orchestra.
Yes, he plays Lukanga and sings with the orchestra. They did a few concerts in some schools in order to show everyone what Malagasy music was like. Manindri would demonstrate some of the wrestling moves by grabbing one of the accordionists and just picking up in his hands and pretending to throw him down on the ground. And everyone would gasp in horror at his speed and strength. Manindri may be big, but he's strong and he's really fast. He moves like lightning.
This is Sambiasi, and we recorded this piece during our stay in Tulear. Like Manindri, Sambiasi heals people with his spirit music. And this song, Apelo Kombo, is specifically for healing a young disabled girl. Sambiasi made the journey from his forest home to the Victory Hotel in Tulear, where we recorded the session. And he told me that he learnt the Marovan, that's the zither unique to southern Madagascar, because as a young boy, he had tunes in his head. He built instinctively an instrument and then played out these tunes. The grunting and heavy breathing that you can hear crudely imitates the disabled girl and calls a particular forest spirit that will then heal her. Another windy afternoon with beautiful sunshine, clear skies in Tulear, and we've come to the house of another great and famous musician.
Madame Mas, the fantastic Marovani player.
Not just any old Marovani player.
No, no.
Because this one is a woman.
Yeah, which is really rare, if not unique. In the world of Marovan, I've never come across another woman musician. But her style is absolutely exceptional.
In what way?
Well, she doesn't play all the kind of flashy trills and stuff. She's very thematic in the way that she plays. And I like a flamenco guitar with four hands.
I heard you describe the style earlier on as sounding like a locomotive,
yeah.
Which is a great image.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just like a train just plowing through the land.
That's right. Her style is really, really beautiful. Well, you'll see for herself. And I hope her friend Moon is going to be with her, who plays rattle and sings. There are many stories told about Madame Mas, and one of the stories is that she has a man Trumba inside her.
She's got a male spirit.
A male spirit inside her, and that's why she's such a fantastic musician.
Men would say that, wouldn't they? Because, you know, if it's always men who play the Marovan, then any woman who plays the Marovan well, they're going to say it's a male spirit, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. But it might well be.
La Tamasi, La Tamasi, La Tabarakane, La Tabarakane.
Madam Mas, tell me your story.
She started playing Marovani very young because she went to school, but she couldn't really stay at school. So she started playing and liked it and continued playing.
So in 1967,
when there was any cultural event, they started calling for Madam Mas to come and play. And that's how it started. Madam Mas is explaining that the music of the Marovani is really the music of the trump, which is of the spirit of being possessed. So when people have been possessed, the family would call her and she would play the Marovani for the trumba ceremony. She's asking a favor. When you go away, do not forget her when we go away.
Madam Mas, you are quite unforgettable. One of the things that's very different about you from the other Marovan players is that you're a woman. So how has it been for you as a woman to play the Marovan?
She said that there hasn't been any problem for her as a woman to play the Marovan or to learn. And also, she says as a woman, she is something good for Madagascar.
She projects an image.
She projects, yes. She used the term like flowers of Madagascar.
Because sometimes in many cultures around the world, there are taboos. For instance, in West Africa, if a woman plays a string instrument, they say that either she won't have children or she'll go blind. So there's nothing like that here?
No, it
doesn't exist here. She says it's the opposite. The Ministry of Culture and all that, when there has been any need for a Marovani player, they would come to her first. She's the first one they would call.
Thank you. lovely sound, the tide coming in. It's been quite some journey and we're just about at the end of it. We've driven 1,000 kilometres or thereabouts from Tananarive, from the capital of Madagascar, down the Route 7, past 31 police road checks, three of which stopped us. Finally got to Toliara, but actually Toliara is not our last destination. We're on our way to a very significant place and we're going to be taking a small boat to get there. It's quite far away, it's due south, and it's especially significant for you, Paddy.
We're going to Anakau, where some recordings were made in the mid-1960s by a Belgian ethnomusicologist called Bernard Coquelin. And these were the first recordings I heard of Maravani music played by the Vezu fishermen.
The Maravan being the box zither.
Yeah, that's right. And this album had a picture on the front of it of a musician called Robert Rindy. And we're going to visit Robert Rindy's grave today, as I heard, rather sadly, that Robert had died. I saw him just over 10 years ago on a day very different today to today. It was today is potentially going to be a very hot and sunny day. The last time I was there, there was a cyclone coming over and the weather was just like Margate. It was the most absurd thing. This extremely tropical location just went brown and looked just like anywhere on the British coast. And all my friends there were dressed up in pullovers with scarves and hats on. It was incredibly surreal. There's no fresh water in Anakau, which means there are no mosquitoes. Water has to be brought in every day in huge barrels inside large canoes. They call them lakken.
Paddy, you may say that on that day with the cyclone coming, that it looked like Margate, but it's about as different from Margate as I can possibly imagine. Well, the tide is coming in really, really quickly. That rippling sound is the sound of the sea coming in. But in the distance, there's just this roar of surf on the reef, the Great Reef.
We're on the edge of a lagoon about the size of Greater London. In the distance, you see the odd white foamy explosion as the Indian Ocean hits the edge of the reef. It's magic.
So we're climbing off the pier into a very small wooden cart. Whoa, thank you. And we're hitting the sea. We're going into the sea now. Quite a sort of surreal sensation going through the sea on a cart pulled by two oxen. Going out to our boat that's going to take us to Anakau. I think I'm a... We arrived at Anakau on our little boat, headed up the beach and sat in a small bar. A messenger was sent to find one of Robert Rindy's sons. Only with his permission would we be able to visit the grave of the late maestro. It was Robert Rindy who introduced my guide, Paddy Bush, to the wonderful instrument, the Maravan. And actually, I also first heard of the Maravan from a recording of the same artist. And here we were in a tiny, remote fishing village in southern Madagascar, where Rindy had spent his whole life. I asked Paddy how he came across a 1960s LP of this modest Madagascan fisherman. And it turns out that Paddy was at the 1981 Glastonbury Festival.
Collett's record store had a little stall there, and right there, in the front of all their records, was this record with Madagascar written across the top of it. And this, my antennae had been out looking for Malagasy music for about 10 years. And this was the first record that I found. Sat on the front of it was this guy playing a box with strings down each side. So I bought the album and then found myself in this situation whereby I didn't have the means to play it.
Yeah, because you're in the middle of the muddy fields of Glastonbury.
Absolutely, parked in with like 80,000 vehicles around. There's just like no way of getting out. So I walked around the festival and bumped into a girlfriend of mine, Marion, who's a naturist. And she was doing some yoga completely naked in the sunshine. And we got chatting, and I said, look, I've just bought this fantastic album from Madagascar, and I can only imagine what it sounds like. And she said, no problem, I've got a friend just the other side of the festival who's got a record player, and we can go there. You know? She had a motorcycle, and I got on the back of her motorcycle. The only thing she had on was a pair of motorcycle boots. Okay. I didn't know where to put my hands, right? So I folded my arms behind my back with this album behind my back with Madagascar written across the top of it. And we bounced across the site of Glastonbury in order to get to the edge of it and to a little village nearby where a friend of hers had a record player. I put this thing on his record player and it was like pressing the button to set off a nuclear bomb. These were the primary seconds that just changed my life on the spot. This album was recorded in about 1966 by a Belgian ethnomusicologist called Bernard Coquelin. And he'd come to this place, Anakau. And on the front of this album, as I explained, was a person playing a marimbani. The photograph itself was actually taken right here in Anakau. And the musician's name was Robert Rindy, the reason we're here today. As time went by, this album was now in my daily diet of music. I listened every single day, several times to this. It's just almost like a continuous rolling musical event through my days. And the time eventually came, I just couldn't stand it anymore. You can't go to a shop and buy a marimbani. Luckily, I'd studied how to make musical instruments, so I tried to make a copy of the instrument from the front of the cover. Robert was sat in such a way that one of his feet was visible in the shot. So I made a proportional copy of this instrument using his left foot as a unit of measurement, right? So the instrument would say, 15 times his left foot long, right? Hmm. So I built an instrument that was 15 times my left foot long. I knew the instruments were strung up using bicycle brake cable. Nobody had told me that you take the bicycle brake cable apart, right, into like, 16 individual filaments, right? So the first instrument I made was the right length, but I strung it up with complete bicycle brake cable. After trying to play it for 10 seconds and all my fingerprints coming off using this stuff and it sounding like a Jamaican steel drum, I thought, well, have these Malagasy got some hands on them, if they can play bicycle brake cable. And then I bumped into a French guy who said, oh, no, buddy, you've got it completely wrong. They take the bicycle brake cable apart, and it's like individual filaments. So I made Marimbani Mark II using the same measurements, only this time with, deassembled bicycle brake cable. And I tried to teach myself to play. It was really only a question of time before I came down to eventually meet him. And I brought with me a tiny little Sony cassette machine. And arriving here, I was really surprised to find out that Robert had never actually heard the recordings that he'd made in the 1960s. Bernard Coquelin, the person who'd recorded it, had sent an album down to Anacao, but they didn't have any record players here. Well, a bit like me in Glastonbury, okay? They didn't have any record players. And so, incredibly, me turning up 30 years later with this tiny little cassette recorder was the first time he'd actually got to hear his work.
Amazing.
And we sat at that table over there and played back this this squeaky little cassette machine, and everyone's ears were kind of pressed towards this thing, and Robert sat there and smiled and said, "That's me." I stayed for a couple of weeks and I hired Robert every day as a teacher to try and show me the basics of how to play the instrument.
We found out just before coming here that, in fact, Robert Rindy had died. What does it feel like to be here, Paddy? And alas, he's Robert Rindy, your teacher, isn't here anymore with us.
Well, obviously, I feel very sad at the news that Robert has passed on, and a little surprised, I have to say. But life is hard in Madagascar. People don't always live to very ripe old ages, and life for the Vaisa fishermen is particularly hard. So yeah, I feel sad, and it's mixed with a feeling almost like coming home. Coming home.
The messenger soon returned to the beach bar, and with him was Aurélien Rindy, one of Robert's sons. He's one of the three boys pictured on the famous album cover, and he, like his father, learnt the Marouvan. Nowadays, he's a fisherman who dives with a spear to depths of 30 metres and more. Through our translator, Seraphine, I asked him if we could visit his father's grave.
What he's saying is it's difficult to go and visit his father's grave. We can't just go over there. We need to kill a goat and do certain rituals before we can do that.
Well, can we organise that? We'd like to do that, Paddy and I, especially Paddy, of course, because he knew your father. It has a special meaning for me, because your father's music was my introduction to Malagasy music, so I'd really like to do that.
It's no problem for him, but it's about organising, about the goat and the rituals. It might be a little bit complicated.
Robert's son went off to find a goat and to see if an elder was available to oversee the ceremony. With a couple of hours, he reckoned he could probably organise something. And that gave us time to see what other music was going on in Anacao.
So Robert Rindy was a Vezu. The Vezu are the fishermen of this part of Madagascar. And the music that we're about to hear is also Vezu music.
Yeah, it is. It's Vezu music. And we're going to hear a small mandolini band who play a whole selection of instruments that have got three or four strings on them, that are square-shaped bodies with long necks attached and a strange asymmetrical diatonic arrangement of frets on them. And they look like rubbish, right? But the sound that comes out of these instruments is just fantastic.
And it's fishing line the strings are made of.
That's right. Well, it's an obvious resource because there's lots of fishing line right next to the sea here. Lots of other things too. You know, the beach is scattered with beautiful tropical shells. They're kind of hair clips, the odd discarded sandal, bits of driftwood. There's all kinds of resources here.
But listen to this music that we're about to go and hear. This is the style that's called sapiki.
Sapiki. Yeah. Normally you'd hear this kind of stuff played on modern musical instruments, electric guitars, bass and drums, and occasionally a keyboard.
But that's the stuff that we hear blaring out of all the stalls.
Petrol stations.
Back in Tulia.
Yeah, yeah. But this is the original sapiki music. It's hyperactive, contagious dance music with fantastic harmony singing.
It's girls singing.
Yeah, a duet of girls singing.
With their faces caked in this kind of ochre makeup. It's fascinating.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Thank you.
Oh, really fantastic. Fantastic. This is tsapiki music from Anakau down on the southern coast of Madagascar. A boat ride away from Tuléar, from the main town. It's a group of four string players. They're playing these homemade rectangular-shaped instruments with two and or three fishing line strings and interesting-looking frets. The instruments are painted green and blue. And then there are the two girls who are singing the harmony, and they're also doing a fabulous dance right here on the sea. It's just amazing. And this is the original tsapiki. This is the roots of this very, very popular style from southwest Madagascar. So exciting to see it. Wow. Can you tell me the name of the group?
Isn't it a group, Naru? Manavasava. The name of the group is called Manavasava.
Does that mean anything?
It means bringing joy.
Bringing joy. They certainly do that. You certainly do that. What was that song about, the one that you've just done?
That song was called Vorui, which means he's been left. He met this woman, loved her, married her, and she left him.
A personal song?
It's a personal song. It happened to him, so he composed.
I hope you've got over her. I guess that was a yes.
Yes.
Well, let's have one more piece of music from you. What will it be?
This song is called Hayana Reu, and it's a song about like foreigners would come and help them become famous.
Famous on world roots. Here we are at Robert Rindy's grave, and it's a simple whitewashed cement grave standing about 3 feet off the ground with the headstone. I think they're going to sacrifice the goat now.
the knives. There are two knives being sharpened against each other. I don't think I'm going to watch it either, thank you very much. Yep. It's not a pretty sight, I have to say. But evidently it makes the ancestors happy. So. Now that the goat has been slaughtered, are they interpreting something?
Yes, he's explained what has happened. He's saying that his father, being a Christian, has asked that this ritual be simplified. So when the goat is killed, that they just want the blood to go to run towards the tomb, and that would be enough as a ritual, as a sort of asking for permission to be here among the tomb. But if they were not Christians, what they would have done is taking all the goat, cutting pieces and putting in all the on all the tombs of the people who've died who are elder. Whereas now they have just done that and they're just going to share it. What happens is the inside of the goat, all the heart and all around that, is going to go to the Hazumanga, who is the master of the ceremony, who's unfortunately too old to be here, but as a mark of respect, that will be given to him. And the head of the goat will go to his assistant, and then the rest divided by the rest of family.
How would they feel if Paddy played a tune on his maravan, the maravan that was modelled on his teacher's maravan?
I have explained to Robert Rindy's son that Paddy has been here and played Maruvani with his father, and he was hoping that he will meet him again, but unfortunately he's passed away, so now he's going to play for him. So his son is very happy.
Paddy's taken his Maruvan, very beautiful looking Maruvan, very fine workmanship that Paddy's done on it, and he's taken it out of the case. It's the Maruvan that was based precisely on the proportions of the Maruvan played by Robert Rindy, whose tomb we're in front of. And he's put down one of these scarves, it's called a lambawani, on the sandy floor, right in front of the tomb of Robert Rindy, who died on the 30th of March 2007 and was born around 1935 and was Paddy's teacher.
Robert.
Roots was presented by Lucy Durand, who was joined by Paddy Bush and Justin Vallée. The producer was James Parkin.
Noise is unwanted sound. And I suppose that as far as some listeners are concerned, this trailer comes into that category.
Novelist Andrew Martin.
In a series of essays for Radio 3, I will be citing those who have fought noise, including Anthony Trollope, Spike Milligan, or Val Whedon, who became Britain's foremost anti-noise campaigner after living next to a woman who played All Around the World by Lisa Stansfield at top volume around the clock. I will be explaining why noise blight is ever growing, and arguing that we should pay attention to the fact, because after all, you can't close your ears.
The Essay, The Sound and the Fury, weeknights this week on BBC Radio 3 at 10:45.
So the first of those tomorrow night. We're back to tonight. It's 11 o'clock. Time now for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. The Beatles ushering us into another bumper-packed edition of the show. And stay tuned to hear some classic Lennon-McCartney reimagined by pianist Brett Meldow from a brand new 7-CD box set on Nonesuch Records. Also on today's show, an interview with American sax giant Chris Potter.
I remember talking to Ornette Coleman years ago, and that was what he loved about the saxophone, is it's a voice. It's like a human voice.
As well as that interview, there'll be a chance to hear Chris performing in the company of piano legend McCoy Tyner. Stay tuned to hear that special concert set later on in the show. Award-winning American trumpeter Dave Douglas has an impressive 30 recordings under his belt, and his last outing, A Single Sky, was surprisingly his first foray into big band jazz. Soon to be artist in residence at the Royal Academy of Music in London, let's hear him with the impressive Frankfurt Radio Big Band playing a track from that album, and it's this, Tree and Shrub. Dave Douglas with the Frankfurt Radio Big Band and Tree and Shrub, taken from his last recording on the Greenleaf music label called A Single Sky. And Jazz Lineup talked to Dave Douglas a few days ago, and here's his thoughts about his forthcoming residency.
It's going to be great to be in London for a week. The first time I spent a week in London was in 1987 with the Horace Silver Sextet playing at Ronnie Scott's. I was back again with Vincent Herring in probably 1989. And since that time, I've come in and out to do single concerts, but I haven't really, settled in and had a chance to really dig in with some musicians. So to be doing this at the Royal Academy is very exciting for me. We'll be working closely on music, not only my music, but their original music that I'm going to be exhorting them to compose in the course of the week. I'll give an open master class where I'll listen to them playing their pieces and talk about how one might consider improving both the performance and the composition. And then the Royal Conservatory big band directed by Nick Smart is going to be playing my big band music, and I'll be soloing and directing the band a little bit. So it'll be quite a bit of fun and very inspiring to be involved in a program that has so much inspiration from Kenny Wheeler, one of my heroes.
Well, if you want to catch any of those public events, they are on Wednesday, January the 25th in Duke's Hall, and that's a public masterclass. And the next day, Thursday the 26th, at Duke's Hall again at 7:30 this time for a gala concert with the Academy Big Band. We wish Dave Douglas all the best in his residency. Grammy-winning singer-bassist Esperanza Spalding is soon to release a companion rather than a sequel to her much-acclaimed previous release, Chamber Music Society, which topped jazz charts around the world. Entitled Radio Music Society, this is her most diverse and ambitious project to date, with an accompanying DVD to the CD of 12 conceptual music videos. Special guest musicians on the new recording range from hip-hop legend Q-Tip to jazz greats such as Joe Lovano, who's a regular in her band, Jack DeJohnette, Billy Hart and Terry Lynn Carrington. Here's the opening track, which I think is sensational, Radio Song.
Traffic won't speed up, so you turn the radio on.